the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can handle anything God allows in our lives. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, Pastor Brian Grant began his message by showing from Scripture how, at salvation, every Christian was anointed by the Holy Spirit and equipped for service. We also heard how an incident in the life of David illustrates how that anointing works to achieve God's purposes and bring blessing to the life of the individual believer. We'll rejoin the message now as Pastor Grant brings to a conclusion his message, Blessings of Our Anointing, Part 2. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Listen, David is now totally out of the will of God. And I want to say to you, my friends, some of you are watching, listen, sometimes you may think, you're okay, you're out of the will of God, but everything seems to be working okay. David, it looked like everything was working okay. But listen, eventually God is going to bring things to roost. And when David came to Ziklag and realized that God had allowed the enemy to steal all he had, I'm sure he realized this was partly his fault. And the Bible said he wept bitterly. You know, the enemy has stolen from us. And we may have been partly to blame. One of the tragedies of the I find in our Christian experience is that when we go out of the will of God and the enemy gets to steal stuff from us, it's rarely we take any of the blame. I'm going to suggest to you, God has blessed you with divine resilience and he has blessed me. But if we are going to regain what the enemy has captured, and brothers and sisters, some of us, the enemy has captured our children. He has captured our families. He has captured our joy. He has captured our hope. He has captured our testimony. If we're serious about getting God's restoration, oh, hallelujah, that's the next one we're coming to. God's divine restoration. Yes, there's God's divine resilience, but there's also God's divine restoration. But if we're going to get God's divine restoration, we must first stop like David and take some time to start crying, to have some real heart-to-heart tears of sorrow and repentance, where we say, God, I messed up. God, I blew it. God, I blew it. God, I took matters into my own hands. But oh God, I'm so grateful that you're such a good and gracious God and such a forgiving God that you will forgive. May God help us this morning. Listen, it starts there, my brother and sister. Too often we leave that part alone. But until we start there, there is no point going to the next verse. Until we get to verse 4, there's no point going to verse 6. So you said, Pastor, what happened in verse 6? Oh, we all love verse 6, but we don't like verse 4. Verse 6 says, they're all about to stone David, but David strengthened himself in the Lord our God. Put this down. When our back is against the wall, we must draw strength from the Lord. Amen? When our back is against the wall. You know, there's a verse of scripture we need to memorize, and I'm going to put it on the screen right now. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And most of us have memorized it in the King James Version or the New King James. But here's how it reads in the New Revised Standard Version. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Make sure you hold on to this verse as we talk about divine resilience. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone, but God is faithful, listen, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Oh, please, my brother and sister, recognize that God is not going to allow you to be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he's going to also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Hallelujah. We can make it. Hallelujah, because of the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Listen, we can make it. We can put that verse, put that in your notes. By the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can handle anything God allows in our lives. Amen. We can make it. We can handle it because God is not going to let us be tested beyond our strength. The devil wants you to believe right now because of all the drama you're experiencing. The devil is trying to get you to quit and to say you can't handle all of this. But God is saying to you, my brother and sister, yes, you can handle it. You can make it. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the power of his indwelling spirit. But God has given us another powerful resource to help strengthen our resilience. Our January 4th devotional. I don't know how many of you use our devotional, but I love our devotional. Our January 4th devotional pointed out that in the heat of the Arizona desert, you'll usually see dried up tumbleweed blowing everywhere. This vegetation, tumbleweed, because it has no roots, it's blowing all over the place. But at the same time, even in 130 degree weather, you'll also see the saguaro cactus bearing fruit. Do you know why? As hot and as dry as it is, the saguaro cactus, its roots go 50 to 60 feet in all directions, and it can grab hold of water and moisture wherever it can find it. The saguaro cactus, no matter how hot or how dry it is green, it is bearing fruit. And aren't you glad that that person who has been planted by the rivers of water will always bring forth fruit? Amen. You see, anyone can survive a day or two of drought, but only those who are deeply rooted in God's word. Listen, the one who is able to flourish, listen, in the time of drought is the person, the brother or sister who is deeply rooted in the word of God. Am I right about that? Thank God for the men's small group, and I trust all of us men will get active. You don't have to be a member. You can be one of the visitors, and he said, I want to be a part of one of those because I want the fellowship and I want to increase in my knowledge in the word of God. Join one of the small groups. Ladies, let's get involved. Thank God. C.S. Lewis said, hardships often prepare ordinary people. And I'm so glad. Listen, God has blessed us as he seeks by his grace to help us achieve our purpose. Listen, if you decide today, God, I am going to, by your strength and by your power of your spirit, I want to be that Christian who achieves the purpose you have in mind for me. God, I want to achieve your purpose. I am saying again on the authority of God's word, God will make sure you achieve his purpose. And he has blessed us with divine favor. He has blessed us with divine protection. He has blessed us with divine resilience. And the final thing I'm going to talk about, he has blessed us with divine restoration. As we saw before, David's connection with the Lord had weakened. But I'm so glad for the blessing of divine restoration. For even though he messed up, my brother and sister, even when we mess up, God's restoration is still available to us. Aren't you glad he's a restoring God? Aren't you glad for the blessing of divine restoration? Aren't you glad that God is not going to kick you to the corner and say, you've been such a bad, naughty little girl. I'm done with you. Aren't you glad that no matter
how far we have drifted from God, like that prodigal son who had run away, and when the fellow decided to come back home, listen, daddy didn't wait on him. Daddy ran out and met him and gave him everything. Aren't you glad we have that type of a God? Let me share with you this morning, before I quit, four quick principles, four quick steps on the road to restoration. Write this down. Number one, David sought God's will. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, bring me the ephod here. Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. In chapters 27 to 29, David was acting without consulting God. You read it, you'll see. He was just on his own. His decisions were made in the flesh based on what he thought he had the capability to handle. Sounds familiar? Have you ever been there? Can we just fess up this morning? Can we just be honest for a minute? And admit that David was no unique, that we've been there. We've decided to do it our way. After all, God gave me a good education. I got good credentials. I got degrees. I got all sorts of stuff. I can figure this out. I got a good plan for my life. But as David returned to the Lord from his backsliding ways, he brought his plans to the Lord. What a dramatic turn. If you want to talk about a dramatic turn, 1 minute he has nothing to do with God. The next minute he ain't doing nothing without checking with God. Are you bringing all your issues to the Lord? He sought God's will. But secondly, he obeyed God's word. He obeyed God's word. Verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, because they were so weary they could not cross the brook Besor. Can you imagine? David was now so sincerely committed to God that he was obeying God, although what God was telling him to do seemed impossible. You say, why would you say that, Pastor? Come on now. Pursuing the Amalekite military with just 600 tired men was bad enough. But 200 of your tired soldiers were so tired, they couldn't go on. Now you may say, you may think the other 400 were fresh. Nobody was fresh because they had just left the front. 3 days it took them to get from where they were home. And after riding hard for 3 days, looking forward to seeing their wives and hugging, everybody's gone, the whole place is burnt out. They jump right, they cried a minute, and jump back on their horses with their tired little selves, or camels or whatever they were. I think it's horses. This was a seemingly impossible thing to do. David was now ready to obey God. And since God said, you shall surely overtake them, that was enough for David. Are you ready to obey God's word yet? Are you still? Oh, I know even after this message there, some of us are going to say, you know what, I feel a little safer doing it my way. I'm going to stay in my little cocoon. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to keep trusting my way. God is challenging you. The Spirit of God is speaking to you even now. Are you ready to change? Are you ready to start doing it God's way? Are you ready to follow the God of the impossible? David was now ready to follow the God of the impossible. You know, there's a little song we used to sing, and we still sing it before COVID. Trust and obey. You know that one? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. David sought God's will. David obeyed God's word. David received God's favor. Isn't it crazy what happened here in verse number 11? They found an Egyptian in verse 11 in the field and brought him to David. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole thing because it was read earlier for us. But just imagine, the man they now caught was one of the men who was a part of the attack on Ziklag. And he knew exactly where everybody was. Who but God hooks stuff up like this? Who but God hooks stuff up? Who but God can bless us with his divine favor? And because of the blessing of divine favor, God is going to bring us to our purpose when we decide we are going to follow him with our whole hearts. He received God's favor. And because of that, David and his 400 tired men caught the entire army by surprise. And the benefit of surprise, they wiped them out. He obeyed God's word, sought God's will, he obeyed God's word, he received God's favor, and finally, he recovered all the enemy had taken. Look at verse number 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. He rescued his wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. The enemy has stolen from some of us. But thank God, it ain't over till God says it's over. Amen? It ain't over till God says it's over. And I'm so glad this morning that I am here on the authority of the Word of God to talk about the blessing of divine restoration. And just like David was able to recover all by the blessing of God, I'm encouraging you, my brother and sister, as I encourage myself, that despite what the enemy has taken, let us trust God to restore everything. The enemy has stolen from us. Don't give up now. It ain't time to give up now. Am I right about that? It ain't time to give up now. The enemy has stolen your kids. The enemy may have stolen your parents. The enemy has done all sorts of drama. But it ain't time to give up now. For God is a God of divine restoration. Let us trust him. But don't miss this. David did not recover what was stolen until first he was willing to admit to God, God, I messed up. God, I blew it. And then secondly, was willing to seek God's will and obey God's word. Oh, let's put it all in context. David had gotten back to the place where he was now ready and determined to pursue God's purpose for his life. It's all about God's purpose. Oh, in case you didn't realize, that's all I've been talking about. It's really about pursuing God's purpose. God has anointed you and he has anointed me for a purpose. The question is, has the enemy distracted us? Where our commitment to pursuing God's purpose has weakened? And if not, if so, my brother and sister, this morning God calls us all back to pursuing his purpose. You know, in our home, we have all sorts of rooms, and we have a living room. Perhaps one of the best decorated rooms is the living room. But to be honest with you, that's not where the action is. If you come to our home, the action is really in the kitchen or the family room or the den, whichever you want to call it. That's where the action is. That's where we're going to hang out. In our place, particularly the kitchen, because there are a whole lot of chairs there. We can pull stools from under the counter. We can all sit and chat close together. Probably in COVID, you want to go to the family room now, so you won't be quite as close. But really, the living room is really for special occasions. Perhaps Christmas, some other little time like that. The action, the real action happens in the kitchen. Some of us love to claim, you know, we put God, we parked him in the living room, but we claim he's at the center of our lives. Oh, he's in the center of my life, but he's in the living room. Nobody out there. Nothing is going on out there. No, today he wants to be in the kitchen. He wants to be where everything is happening. He wants to be at the central control point of your life. He wants to be Lord of your home and your life. Are you going to surrender everything to him? Are you going to say, God, yes, I messed up, but God, I'm coming home. Lord, please restore everything the evil one has taken. And God, help me to achieve your purpose for my life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.